Hello, hello, welcome to Connecting Through Movies and Their Soundtracks. Tonight we are doing the documentary. It's free on YouTube. Now mine just moved, so I'm gonna have to start all over again. It's on YouTube. It's called Attitude. And it is by a film by Don Letts. What in the world is happening with everything tonight? So it's on YouTube. Let me see if it comes back up again. Man, I am having some issues.
You're having issues. I fell asleep after supper. I woke up at 5 to 9. I've been running around like a retard trying to get everything all ready.
He's probably having a smoke. And then I look, I'm like, oh, crap. And I posted the show. And I posted it from my phone, but when I went in my tablet, it's not there. I'm like, what the heck? I don't understand. You're here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. I woke up at 5 to 9 because I fell asleep after, well, not after supper. I had supper, went, got Austin from work, said, Lori, I'm going to put my feet up for a few minutes because I did a lot of walking, a lot of running around today. And I just woke up and then it's like, okay, today's Thursday. Okay. I'm like, where's the show? is today Thursday?
Yeah.
Because my brain's still frambled right now.
Oh, yeah, well, I was questioning it being, I thought it was Wednesday all day, but when I got home with Aaron, I knew it was Thursday, but I have no idea where the show went. I mean, now it shows my picture. I normally have something different. It totally posted. I put it on Facebook and everything. I don't know. I have no clue.
Well, see, there's this other show on right now called The Pulse.
Oh, yeah.
And right beside it, it looks like it says Dina. So I clicked in it.
What?
I'm like, what the hell's that all about? BP's in there, and they're listening to music, but it's got nothing to do with you. But I don't know why your name is on The Pulse's show.
Oh, that's weird.
I just screenshot it. I'll send it to you in Messenger.
That's really weird. Yeah. Let me see. Now I can't hear you. Oh, it says, okay, what in the hell is going on? I can't hear you anymore, if you can hear me. And it says, sent, oh, there it is. Okay, it says, sent photo. but there was no photo, but it finally came up. Let's see. Oh, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, right underneath the blue triangle says Dina. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it said, why, because so I clicked on that for a minute, and no, you're not in there.
Huh.
Oh, man, my brain's frambled right now.
That's really weird. I wonder why, huh.
I fell asleep watching the movie, and I woke up, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2 was playing. It's
oh, jeez.
That's an interesting way to wake up. Yeah, I know you're not into horror films, but the guy's name is Chop Top.
That scared the crap out of me.
The guy's name's Chop Top, and he's Bill Moseley's the actor. And what he does is he has a lighter, and he burns the lighter. He heats the hanger up with his lighter, and then he burns the scalp, and it burns a little piece of skin off, and he picks it off and eats it.
Ew.
Yeah, like, and he's standing there having a conversation with this chick. She's running a radio station. And he keeps doing this thing with the the coat hanger. I've seen the movie probably 20 times. Like, I know what's going on, but it's just a weird way to wake up. Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2 on your TV, and that's not what I fell asleep and watching.
That is strange.
Yeah.
No, that'd scare the crap out of me if I woke up to something like that. I mean, like, am I dreaming?
Yeah. And like 2 minutes after that, it's when Leatherface breaks through the door and he's got the chainsaw.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, see, but... no. Yeah, no, that would scare me. I think I'd have a heart attack. Oh, my gosh. No, in the afternoons, I like hit a wall. Bam. I don't know. But it's been happening for, I don't know, the last 9 months. Like, I just hit a wall. And so now I'm thinking, I don't know if it's that bradycardia. I have no idea. I'll go see a cardiologist and maybe they'll tell me if it is or not. But I have no clue.
Yeah, when I'm going, but as soon as I sit down, I fall asleep. I just
Hey, Tico.
that's just been me forever. But like I said,
Yeah.
I just it doesn't seem like it would be much more. But you know, having to leave earlier in the morning, run Austin to work, come back home, load the kids up, run them to school,
It's a
come back
lot.
home, go to the grocery store to get some odds and ends for dinners and stuff, and then take Stella and me, we go for a walk every day for about an hour, and then you know, bring the kids home from school, have a quick dinner, go get Austin from work and everything like that. It's just an extra lot of cluster, and it's just
It's a
taking the
lot.
shit out of me.
No, it's a lot. Well, that, I know, I totally understand from driving, driving Aaron, driving him to work, driving all the way back, going back to pick him up, driving all the way back. And I'm sure the roads are, there's only two ways that I can go. And one of them is maybe 7 minutes faster, but it is just so, it's just insane. It's like I just hold on to the steering wheel and pray the whole time. It's just crazy. And then the other one is kind of getting worse because people, go that way to a different way, but I go through kind of neighborhood way, on a main street and then cut through a neighborhood. But it's just like you said, it's a lot. And then you put in going to the grocery store and doing all those little things. It wears you out.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel you.
And our area is getting so congested, it's not even funny. Like, my wife grew up in Toronto, and that's like the big city in Ontario, right? She said the traffic in Welland is worse than when she left Toronto 12 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And the city's not designed for that. We had a population of like 29,000. Now our population's almost 100,000 or something like that in our area.
See, I'm not sure with all the numbers, but it kind of sounds the same. Lewis grew up literally across the street from where we live, from when he was little, I think kindergarten. And we've been in this house since 2010. It was a two-lane road behind us, and they made it into a four-lane road, and it's insane. It's just crazy. But there's only a couple ways out, and all they keep doing is building. If there's a little piece of land, they build apartments going straight up to the sky. And there's just too many cars for the amount of roadways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the
It's
thing. Like
crazy.
Toronto's roads are like 4 lane, 6 lane highways, and even in one spot, it's like an 8 lane highway and stuff. And we have like a huge population now, and all of our roads are still only 2 lanes, except for the one main road, Niagara Street downtown. Everything else is just 2 lanes. Like when I even go to take the kids to school, like you used to be able to drive from one end of the city to the other, and like, you know, see a few cars or whatever, but now it's like you're stuck at a red light through like two lights if you're trying to turn left.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of vehicles. It's insane. I think that I'm just hoping and praying that whoever comes here is maybe from California who'd want to buy the house, because that is the only thing, is that street behind us. It's just crazy. And we complain all the time, and they tell you, oh, they have this little map. They have a map online, and they want you to go to the map, and then you have to put a little dot on the map as to where the issue is, because there's a pedestrian crosswalk too that they've decided to put in instead of putting a light at one of the streets here that you can't get across. They put a pedestrian light in between the two streets that really need a light, because now you can't get out to go left if you wanted to. It's so hard and dangerous. And so now people just run that light all the time. It's a solid red light. And I don't know about in Canada, but out here, a solid red light, that means you have to stop.
Yeah,
And
it's like
then
a
it
stop sign.
right. And then when it flashes, it means it's like you stop and you look both ways. And if there's nobody there, then you go. But the first person will do that, and then everybody just goes, they don't even stop. They go right through it. They don't even stop. And it's like there's a person right there. They're still in the crosswalk. They haven't even gotten across the street yet. It's like, God,
Well,
it's
our area,
insane.
they're fucking us around because they're taking out streetlights and they're giving us roundabouts everywhere.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
Oh, they think for some reason that's going to slow the traffic in and make it go a little smoother. It's not. They put them out here everywhere, and they're horrible. They're horrible. They're horrible because people don't. And I didn't know that. I mean, the roundabouts that have two lanes in them. Oh my gosh, those ones are the worst. You know, if you're in the outer lane, then that means you can go all the way around if you want, or turn into the streets, and then the person in the middle has to wait. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
The only time I like those things is when I'm drifting them in the wintertime.
When why do you like them?
Well, because drifting, you know, when you're driving sideways in the snow.
Right. I would think that would be hard to go through.
Well, I used to drive race cars around dirt tracks, so I kind of like going around in a circle. Sliding sideways.
Well, see, out here, I don't know, maybe that's why they've done it. Hey, Nancy, welcome. They decorate them, and they put these big, huge rocks in the middle and then on the side. So if you could hit it and get your car really damaged because these rocks are huge. It's like, so maybe that's what happens to some kids or something. Are drifting over there. I don't know.
You know, there's a few funny videos of people just flying up the highway, not realizing there's a roundabout and just launching their cars.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. hey, she's gone.
Yeah, we've had three people pop in and out so far.
Oh, Miss Dixie, how's it going? We are watching the Punk Attitude film documentary, I should say. It's free on YouTube, and we watched it at our own homes. We push play at the same time, and then we have a live chat here. But this one is... you know, I watched some of it to see the beginning of it. And I want to say it's punk music, but once you start, it's not what people think punk music is. And I think that they explain that too, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it's really good.
The show is also known as Heavy Breathing with Tuttles.
Yes. You haven't been doing bad today.
I was just when I had my microphone in the worst spot, it was literally pointing at my nose.
Oh.
That day, I think.
Yeah, who was saying, oh, it was caps. Caps said it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just my microphone placement that day. I am a heavy breather, but I think it was just like,
yeah, it was really heavy that day. I was like, okay, maybe he's having a hard time breathing.
No, I just wasn't paying attention to where my microphone was.
Next time I'll say something. I just was like, oh, maybe he's sick. Caps, no, he's going to tell you. Dude, you're breathing hard.
Yeah.
All right, well.
He likes the hard breathing for different reasons, though.
Yes, he does.
He's all about the ASMR.
Okay. Oh, Miss Dixie.
Yeah, she left.
You know what? Are you seeing any profile pictures, or are you just seeing names?
I'm just seeing names.
Yeah, me too. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yes, definitely.
That's right. I mean, I wonder what happened with my show. Why it disappeared and there's no profile pictures. It's just totally strange. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you want to get ready?
Yeah, ready? I am ready to rock and roll.
On zeros, zero, zero, zeros?
I'm at zero, 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 zero.
Hey, FUVDDWGP. Welcome. We are watching the music documentary. It's free on YouTube, Punk Attitude, a film by Don Letts. If you want to join us, we watch it at our own homes. We're just about ready to push play, and then we have a live screen chat here as we are watching the documentary. There we go. All right. So do you want to do 1, 2, 3, go?
How about this tonight? Rock and roll, go.
Okay. Awesome. Perfect. You do it.
Rock and roll, go.
I'm like, I'm at a library. All right.
All you need is one guy who will be able to stand up and say, fuck sakes. And everyone goes, Tales of a Generation, thank you. I've been thinking that. I never think that's what
now I can't think of the girl's name that I saw that he is dating or married to. Damn, what's her name? She's a comedian.
Embrace ideas and change it. And, you know, change the way people think all over again. There's always going to be people who are artistically inclined who are going to somehow find something that brings them into the same room. They're going to exchange information. And then they're going to take that out.
It becomes a lineage. These people find each other in this timeline. Gross.
This is a public service announcement. With guitar! Kicking ass, you're doing something new, and you don't give a shit about fucking commerciality.
It's really kind of a philosophical thing about how you look at
now,
something.
Was that guy, that blonde guy they just showed?
You know, a guy in prison who got fucked up the ass. And that's still what it means to people in prison.
I think it starts with Brando in The Wild One. The famous line for that, of course, was, what are you rebelling against? And Brando turns to the camera and says, what do you got?
Welcome, Marcos FM. Good to see you.
People get too complacent.
We're watching the documentary, The Punk Rock, Punk Attitude, a film by John Lutz. It's a documentary on the music of punk rock, and it's free on YouTube. And then we have a live chat here as we're watching it. See, I would have never thought that they would have considered Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis, any of those, considered the beginning of punk.
I can see why, though. Jerry Lee Lewis was a freaking maniac, and his nickname was The Killer, right? Like, it was...
Yeah, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. That were they rebelled, you know, they did what they wanted to do. I am well, Marcos. I hope that you are well.
The hippies were the real punks, if you ask me.
That was just as punk rock as anything, when everyone was against Vietnam and they were doing their own thing. They were all having parties, taking LSD at Woodstock and all that.
They were sort of united against the war, but they were united generally against the establishment.
This country couldn't go wrong with them like a piece, you know, they're not gonna hurt anybody, they just wanna get high, hear some music and fuck, you know.
You want to come to the world of rock and roll and start all over again.
2 minutes you drop, one heart to be crying.
When I was a kid they used to call punk rock.
I love that song.
It's great.
You know those garage bands that that's what I thought punk rock was.
In his liner notes, he said, well, you know, some critics were referred to this as punk. And right after that, he just started sort of singing that word a little bit. They were kind of like, you know, young kids, American kids, that were trying to copy what the Rolling Stones were doing and some of the other English bands and weren't really even as professional as them.
They're also really great American bands that kind of got lost in the shuffle, like Question Mark and the Mysterians, and the Scandals, and Count Five, you know, Psychotic Reaction. You know, they're very simple three-chord rock.
There is 61 or 62 songs on this.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
figuring quite
it's crazy.
Significantly in
some good music.
Some of the grooves and scratches that became punk rock.
Shiny, shiny. Do you have the list in front of you of the songs?
No, I do not.
No. I was just trying to figure out if that song's going to make the cut because that's a great tune too by the Velvet Underground.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of songs on there by the Velvet Underground.
Sweet.
You really try to be polite about it in a way and say, hey, you know, don't you get it? Generally, they don't, and you have to, like, push the boundary. Nico came and
what was it called? Shiny, Shiny? Did they just play it on here?
I can't remember the... Yeah, they was just playing in the background. That was
okay,
the, like,
okay.
I can't remember the name of the actual song. It's got a really weird freaking name.
Okay, yeah, there's a bunch of them. This one's on there too. Now, I thought Lou Reed was in the Velvet Underground.
Was, yep.
Okay, okay. I never knew that there was a chick in it there.
Yeah, no, that was new to me as well. Pretty much the only album I ever seen was the one with the banana on it, and the number one track on that song was that Heroin song or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's on the list too, Heroin. Gosh, look at him there. He looks like a clean cut. He's a trip.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a trip too.
Lou Reed and his crew making this atonal music coming from heart and heroin and death in the middle of like feel good. That's punk rock.
Is this the MC5, right? Yes, MC5. Now, I never knew about them until you. You sent me something with them, with that guy. I don't know, on a playlist or something. When he's in that wrestling thing. That outfit.
Yeah, I don't remember what song that was, but yeah.
Well, yeah, our basic outlook was cultural revolution by any means necessary, including rock and roll, dope, and fucking in the streets. That was number one.
We read in the Black Panther newspaper that Huey Newton said there needs to be a White Panther Party to do parallel work that the Black Panthers were doing. We said, that's us. We're ready. Yeah, let's go. One of our songs was called Cooked Up This Intro for the Tune, where Tyler would scream, kick out the jams, motherfuckers. And we knew it was a little bit wicked, you know, we were kind of breaking a taboo. Gosh, they said a bad word. Oh, what the hell, you know, this is good rock and roll and it's all good fun. But when they rushed the album out, the programmers heard the motherfucker and they lost it. They lost it. And it effectively broke the back of the whole BMC5's entire campaign. It's hard to think of today when you almost have to say motherfucker.
I mean, you're talking about people in a rock and roll band, you know. We're on acid, you know. We're smoking 50 joints a day. You know? Bands for hundreds of miles with James Brown playing the 10 in the car, you know.
had some friends up in Ann Arbor that shared some principles with Yancey Pop, sonically especially, and they called their band the Stooges.
You're a dangerous little stranger, like you, you're a
thief. Oh my gosh.
You're a dangerous little stranger.
Yeah, Iggy Pop, man.
Damn, he's limp. I've seen him do that in the front, but I've never seen him bend backwards like that.
Everybody was kind of staring at him, but what the hell is this? You
know, what the hell is this, right?
Kind of attitude, jumping around like a spastic, you know.
Oh, people are holding him up.
Slabs of sound, brutally psychologically honest lyrics.
What the hell was he putting peanut butter on himself? Was he putting peanut butter on his nipples?
I think the transformative experience of having a kid was, and I was at that show too, he saw the Doors.
Seeing the Doors change them. They were mesmerized, you know, they just, what they saw in that performance gave them a whole new lease on life.
You know, these were bands that weren't selling records. Iggy sort of claimed, as far as he knew, he didn't sell any records until he came to New York and met this other, this newer generation of like the Ramones and stuff who were completely informed by the Stooges, which I think was shocking for him.
It seemed like a lot of the people who started the early, both the punk and the new wave bands in America, were the only Stooges fan in their town, the only Velvet Underground fan, and then we all moved to bigger towns and met each other and started bands.
You know, rock and roll, because it's just a denim kind of drum solo kind of thing, and what we wanted to do was bring it down to 3 minutes and put that little Richard drag on top of it, and that's what rock and roll was.
Yeah, this guy managed to sneak in the lots of these documentaries.
He really does.
Even a thought at that time, I don't think, but the seeds for punk were certainly being sown by the Dolls and by all the bands that had come previous to that, such as the Velvets and Stooges and the MC5.
In England, there was this thing, this controversy, because this guy said, when you say mock rock, which, you know, I mean, I could have cared less at the time, but I can see how it kind of like galvanized kids who thought, like, well, this is the real deal, so what do you know, you old fart?
First of all, music from an American group, Rise of the Stones, of the Monkeys, were to the Beatles, pale, amusing derivative. These are the New York Dolls.
When I saw them, they kind of the way that they didn't care about that. And that just really struck me straight away, you know what I mean? It was like something completely different to anything else that was going on there.
Every punk band that I knew in London, and I knew all of them, they all had both of the New York Dolls albums.
No one had told us we had all this impact. You didn't know anything about?
Yeah, we would have moved to England and stayed here.
When I said enough, you best believe I'm in love, L-U-V.
There's this thing called Malcolm McLaren Matters the Dolls, but you know, he hung around with us for like the last 2 weeks of our existence. We were going down in flames.
Malcolm thought, like, what's the most shocking thing in America?
They're really afraid of communism in America. So let's make all these red clothes and have a red party.
Then for shock value, you put a big flag with a hammer and sickle in the back.
He's Buster Poindexter too. That's who that guy, him. Remember Buster Poindexter?
Yeah.
That's who he is. He's from the New York Dolls, and then he was also Buster, the doppelganger Buster Poindexter.
Final blow.
It's sort of interesting because that sort of marks the point where glam rock died and punk rock started.
As the Dolls sort of began to wind down and then eventually broke up, there were other bands coming in that had been kind of in the circle of the Dolls and had been inspired by the Dolls, and they started forming bands.
In New York, pre-75, the punk rock scene was probably just starting to bubble. Nobody knew it was going to be the punk rock scene. And we were just taking notes from the MC5 and taking notes from the Stooges, and the cauldron was starting to bubble. You know, everybody was so fed up with what was going on with rock and roll, which was Deep Purple. These big, bloody concerts where they do these organ solos for 20 minutes or these guitar solos for 20 minutes.
Did you ever like that type of music, like the Deep Purple and them?
I only like one song by them.
Yeah, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. I know that there was one that was popular.
So it was kind of like, you know, we don't want to be political. You know, we want to kind of be about don't step on my boots or shoes. It's probably the most political.
I wasn't a big fan of the flute.
Yeah, it was hard.
He was just too predominant for what it is.
To be mixed in. Yeah, that was like Jethro Tull. Aren't they the flutey ones too?
Oh, maybe that's who I'm thinking about, Jethro Tull. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's
Jethro
Tull. I like the one song. It's called Aqualung or whatever.
Yeah. There he is.
Yep.
There was a cover, and they're all in black leather jackets sitting at a White Castle hamburger suit. And that's when we said, yes! And we're at the White Castles and pussy and getting drunk and playing rock and roll, and we're gonna spit out our culture and what we think is cool.
Is that him?
I think so.
Wow.
I hear a lot about these groups, often from word of mouth. Singles, you know, it was truly alternative because it really was people doing it for themselves because they wanted to express something. We were kind of like,
see that guy that was just talking, they say he's like a movie documentary producer or whatever, the guy with like the white hair standing straight
up. Yeah.
He actually looks like a singer from this band called Static X.
I was gonna say, isn't he a singer? I don't know the name of the band. But I thought he was a singer too.
Looks just like him. Same hairdo, even.
I wonder if it's him. Now this music would drive me freaking crazy.
Sing a couple notes, and he started whipping the floor with his 8-foot board, his chain. This was completely frightening people out of the room.
I would have hi, Mr. Boris.
Is your kitty coming to visit you?
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here at the table, he always comes up and tries to hop up on my lap.
At that time, there were only two bars to play that played original music, and that was CBGB's and Max's.
I opened in December of 73 as CBGB's, which stands for Country Bluegrass Blues. I made it a policy, the only way they could play here, not they could, the only way they could play here is they had to do their own music. That was the first time I had this new wave of what we call punk music with group television, but they didn't sound good to me.
I saw television maybe 20 times. I saw them, I think, in some of their very first shows.
Jarmusch?
So I was really inspired by that whole scene very early on. There's something very French in a way for me about television. I don't know why, but aesthetically they were very different, and their music could have extended instrumental passages that would just lift you away and transport you somewhere.
In the sad December descends,
we had Patty here in the spring of 75 for 7 weeks.
She's one person who sort of really predates punk as far as like being an artist, the performance, the writing.
She reminds me of that.
Really informed punk,
so yeah, very much so.
So she's very significant when she comes in.
I thought Patti Smith was the queen of the universe. I mean, a number of times I've sat in front of her first album, turned up all the way on my stereo. I mean, I just thought, this is it. This is rock that I've dreamed about.
Boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run. Johnny wanted to move, but the movie kept moving as planned. Boy gripped Johnny, he pushed him against it like a. He drove it deep in Johnny.
These records were not records that were what you think of punk rock. They weren't sort of, you know, sped up Chuck Berry riffs, and it wasn't, you know, this kind of hammer, punk rock chording thing. These were more otherworldly in a way.
Suddenly,
there was always an intellectual side to the punk movement.
A lot of those bands from that time were picking up influences from the poets and the writers that they had grown up listening to. Rimbaud, certainly, and actually a big one was Jack Kerouac, On the Road. Richard Hell walked in one night. Richard kind of walked in wearing these clothes, safety pin together. And Malcolm was totally taken by that idea of like anti-fashion.
He was very bright, and he wrote Blank Generation. And when he did that, and sang that with television first, and then he started Richard Hell and the Boy Dogs. Malcolm saw that and took it back to London.
Some of the safety pins and the staple cuffs and things like that were more of a necessity of people actually trying to hold their clothes together.
And then in London, we'd see these pictures of kids who call themselves punks, and they'd have safety pins all over the place. They'd rip the clothing on purpose just so they could buy a whole bunch of safety pins and put the safety pins in the rips all over the place. And then we'd have to hear about how they're on the dole and they don't have any money. Oh.
Ramones were rehearsing down the hall from us one day, and in the rehearsal place, and Joey comes over and he goes, "Oh, David, come down the hall and hear my band," you know. So I get down the hall, and they play me a song, and I was like, "You gotta be kidding! Like, get a job, you know?" I had no idea that they were so fabulous.
In the early 70s, we discovered bands like the Stooges, the MC5,
Velvet Underground, did that later in the New York Dolls.
Dee Dee had heard about CBGB because Dee Dee was a friend of Richard Hell.
A few Sundays later, we put television in and the Ramones. They were worse than television.
Excuse me.
It was a really interesting set because our equipment kept breaking down and we kept breaking strings and we would get into fights between songs, so we hardly ever even finished a song.
I remember seeing the Ramones and hating them. I hated them. I walked out so pissed off that my friend brought me here, and for 24 hours, I could not think of anything else about how mad I was that this guy brought me to see this lousy band. The next night, I was back.
First time I saw the Ramones, the whole set, maybe 12 songs went by in about 16 minutes, and I remember thinking, like, what the hell was that?
We were missing the essence of rock and roll, which was basically what we grew up with, was the 3-minute song. What happened, though, was
I'm trying to figure out which one he is, but
3-minute songs became 1.5-minute songs.
The singer looks like an alien.
Yeah. The two guitarists look the same, and then the drummer, I can't figure out which one he is. Is he which one of the guitarists or the drummer? He's not the singer. Yeah, he's a freaky looking dude.
Magazine, then they could probably get free records and free drinks, and they'd say that they were representing a magazine. And since there was no magazine that they could represent, because nobody cared about this kind of downtown music, they started their own magazine.
And John wanted to call it Teenage News, which I thought was a very stupid idea. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was from an unreleased New York Dolls song. I said, okay, what do we call a magazine about, you know, comics and fashion and funny stuff? Why don't we call it punk? The first night we decided to do any kind of interviews, we went to CBGB's. Legs insisted on dragging along his friend Mary Harron.
And that was the night we met Lou Reed. It's the first time I saw the Ramones.
The Ramones came out, and they counted off the wrong song. 1, 2, 3, 4, and they all went for the wrong song, and they threw down their guitars in self-disgust. And it was great.
I was just, like, you know, completely shell-shocked. But it was so, I was seeing something completely new.
That was the night we met Lou Reed, and I went up to him and said, oh, we're going to interview you for Punk Magazine. John said, yeah, we'll put you on the cover. He said, oh, your circulation must be fabulous.
I can't see the face up to the back. I'm sensing nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live one.
And the media picked up punk rock and started calling television Talking Heads, Maggie Smith. Everybody in New York was punk rock all of a sudden.
None of the bands called themselves punk or particularly wanted to be punk. The Ramones certainly didn't want to be called that.
Unfortunately, I think it was detrimental to us.
Yeah, I don't consider the Talking Heads punk music.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
Like alternative rock or something, maybe. What?
Yeah.
And the bands
they were, like, yeah, because they weren't really new wave. It was like right between that in between.
But they have a punk attitude, like television. See, I don't feel television, but they are. I mean, they came from the punk. Patti Smith, if you want to take the lyric, all right. You know, some of these things, in a sense, are.
Boy,
punk.
She was not a good
the
looking
Dead Boys. Were more rock and roll than punk, but they certainly had punk lyrics and a punk attitude.
When punk rock came out, it was very threatening and
frightening to some people. Even Debbie Harry talks about when she would go to radio stations, people were like afraid of her because they heard she was punk rock, like she was going to pull out a knife or something.
So I remember one time seeing Blondie at CBGB's. I think it was Heart of Glass that they were playing, and it sounded almost like a disco song. And it sounded.
Yeah, I love Blondie, but I don't really consider them punk either.
She's the first person to ever record a rap song on music on like an album.
Yeah, that one. What was it? A rap? Is it rap? Sure.
Yeah.
But we don't want
anything to do with punk.
When the UK kind of blew up. Immediately after.
Fuck, when I was 17, I'd give my left arm for that jacket.
Yeah, it's a really cool jacket.
No, my friends and I were really interested in that, curious as to how does this same kind of thing.
Welcome, ADMF. We are watching the music documentary Punk Attitude, Avril Lavigne, Don Letts on YouTube. I'm having a live screen chat here.
Social climate at the time in the 70s was crucial to the formation of punk rock.
So does I don't want to, maybe it's, if I ask you this, it might be too much to answer while we're watching it, but you guys there, I don't know if it look up to, I don't know if that's the right word, but you guys do with the Queen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not anymore, though. It's still fucking weird that she's dead because she's been around my whole life. But
yeah, yeah.
And now her son's got cancer.
Oh. Welcome, El Carpe. So,
who knows how long we'll have a king for.
Yeah.
We're considered under the monarchy.
Hold how on, are you? Carpe. How are you? Well, they didn't like her.
Well, there's no such word as punk at the time, if I remember. First time I heard that word using in conjunction with.
What you can hear it in the background tomorrow in the morning show. Around 8:30 is when I start playing the music. We'll have music from this documentary. It'll probably start around 8:25, 8:30. God Save the Queen. Yep, that'll be on there. See, this is what most people, you know, think when they hear, oh, punk music. That's what they think. Everybody looks like that, and it's the Sex Pistols, and it wasn't anything prior to what, you know. Oh, Adam and the Ants. I loved Adam and the Ants. It hasn't been any of the music that's been on here. You know, they would have never considered any of that. It would have been this. What in the hell? What in the hell spells is that?
Okay, well, that's the new weirdest person.
He looked like he had shaving cream on his head.
Yeah.
All pointed everywhere. Oh my word.
Wowzers.
This is really a good documentary if you ever have time to look it up. It's free on YouTube. It's in the chat. Oh, I don't know if you can see it because you came in. It's called Punk Attitude, a film by Don Letts.
Well, El Carpe, every Thursday night we do heavy breathing with Tuttles, and in between my breathing sounds, you can hear music in the background because Thursday nights we watch a documentary on music, and then the next day on Friday she plays the soundtrack from the documentary that we watched.
Yeah.
Now, when they're over an hour, we usually split them in half into 2 weeks. Like this one's an hour and a half, so we're going to do 45 minutes of it today and 45 minutes next week, and then She'll split the soundtrack into two separate shows.
Yeah, there's like 61 or 62 songs on this soundtrack, so there's a lot of music. We won't play the whole songs, of course, but hit a little bit of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Collins are welcome on
this. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I just got to watch. There we go. Well, hello.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Well, you know, phenomenal. Thank you very little. This is, I only, like I said, with my little comments there, I only caught some of what you guys are talking about. But the music stuff that you do is fun. Do you guys always do something with music, or
I have a show on usually Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Right now it's only on Fridays for the moment, but we started doing the Thursday nights. Has it been a year now? It's been a while, because okay. I would do music from shows, you know, music shows, and I would never watch the show. And so this was a way for me to watch the show for the music that I was playing. So it became, we've tried everything to be able to show the documentaries because they're free on Facebook, so that we could all watch it together, and it would just like cutting it up. So it hasn't worked. So we just have a live screen chat while we're watching it. We try to push the button at the same time, and then we chat here. And then tomorrow, I will play the music, some of the music from the documentary, on my podcast. The first half an hour will be sports with my son, and then around 8:30 will be music till about 9:20.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
That's just like amazing. And like I said, my buddy and I do a show. We're from Detroit.
I know the name, Low Standards and Pores.
You've heard of us?
Yeah, I've been on since 2019. I mean, 2019. Yeah, okay. 2019, yeah.
Yeah, that's when we started, was around then, just before the pandemic hit.
Uh-huh, exactly. And it's at night usually, isn't it?
Yeah, we usually do Thursday evenings. I just finished a show. I thought, you know, I'm still awake. I got nothing to do tomorrow. I'm going to see what's going else on Podbean. And I found you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds pretty fun.
Oh, good.
Our show is two old farts who just love talking about music and doing stupid shit. Tonight we talked about Detroit music. Big deal.
Oh, okay, nice.
It's nothing crazy, nothing like phenomenal. Once in a while we'll do a show where we actually do research and pay attention to stuff, but most of the time, because he's busy, he's taking care of his mom's in a situation where she's got dementia, and he's been taking care of her, and so he's got no time to do any research, and I've been super busy with work, and you know, so it's like we don't really have a lot of time to do stuff. But once in a while we'll go, all right, we're gonna take some time and we're gonna figure some stuff out, and we'll do a good show that like actually has information and stuff. But most of the time it's just two guys hanging out talking shit.
Well, nice. So what time do you guys normally come on?
Usually around 8:30 on Thursdays-ish.
Oh, okay.
But it really depends on his schedule, because he's my Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson.
Gotcha.
I can't do the show without him, because I just can't do the show without him.
I'm the Ed McMahon as well. She's my Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
So you understand completely. Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah.
I'm a better hype man than a showrunner.
I couldn't do the show on my own. I need someone to bounce off of.
Oh, and it's hard. It's hard.
Exactly.
Because it's my just, Monday, when I was doing Mondays and Wednesdays, I did it by myself.
Oh,
and it is freaking hard.
It's got to be brutal. Yeah, it's got to be brutal.
It's a lot of research and a lot of time. So, and, yeah.
And the thing is to me, this whole idea of doing a podcast is a conversation with a buddy. And if anybody else wants to be a voyeur into our conversation, join in. That's fine. Yeah. We're happy to have you.
Yeah.
You know, and the three people who aren't related to us who actually listen to us once in a while, we enjoy that. We love the fact that people join us.
Yeah, same here.
I'm amazed that you've heard of us.
Yeah, I know I've been in there before. I know I have. I used to be a part of another podcast in the morning, and I know that I've been in. I know I've been in your podcast before.
Oh, so I have to look here. Dina Joe. Okay, yeah. It, for some reason it just doesn't ring a bell, but that doesn't mean that. I mean, because most of the time, by the time Eric and I do a show, we're both pretty well lit.
Yeah, your thing is a record. It's a record in a glass and a shot glass, like of whiskey or something.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And,
okay,
and,
yeah.
You
I know who you are.
Holy cow.
I've been watching you.
There's someone who actually understands who we are and knows who we are. You've seen.
I didn't really realize it was about music, but yes, I remember. I know exactly what your little profile looks like. Yeah.
It is. It's basically a record with a shot glass of whiskey or whatever. Gotcha. But our whole thing is we both love music. Eric and I met when we were working together, and I would always listen to, I would bring in CD. This is back in the early 2000s, late 1990s. I would bring CDs in to listen to at work on my headphones. And his position was one where he would occasionally have to talk to me, and he'd come into my office and see me, and he'd just flip through my CDs and go, "Dude, you listen to all the same shit I do." And we became buddies from that. And 20 years later, we're still friends.
That's cool. Awesome.
That's weird.
That's cool.
Yeah. So how did you two get together?
Through Podbean, and music is just something we also connect with besides other things. But it's like kind of like you said, it's cool because we get to hang out, and if other people come and join us, they can join us. I wish we could figure out a way to be able to show it, you know, because they're all free. It's not like I'm paying and showing you guys something that I paid for. They're all free documentaries. Right. It would just make it so much easier.
And it sounds like you actually do research and like spend
Dina
time
Joe
doing
loves
stuff.
A good research session.
Yeah.
I'm just a virtual plethora of useless knowledge, and I know when to put my input in, and I know when to shut the fuck up.
Oh, there you go.
Get out of here.
Oh, damn it. I just realized I got to send Eric the liner notes for tonight's show. God damn it. No, but what kind of music do you guys normally listen to?
It's totally different. It doesn't, we're not slaves to one genre.
It's been all over the place. We've done documentaries on CBGBs.
Oh my God.
We've done ones on,
can you please, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
But can you please do me a favor and join our show next Thursday or the Thursday after or the Thursday after, and just come in and say, Eric, shut the fuck up. I need to tell Bill this something. El Carpe needs to hear this. And then Eric will hear you and go, oh my God. And then we will somehow hook up and we will figure out a way to make a some kind of like conglomeration of our shows and make something work where you'll get more famous than us because we suck ass. But, you know, and you actually do the work and we don't care. But somehow just please join us next time, next week, and just say and be part of it. Either one of you or both of you at the same, that would be great. If the both of you could take over the show, that would be great. I would love it. Eric would just
take
freak
over the show.
Oh my God. I would freak the hell out. It would be awesome. It would be great. And it would drive Eric crazy. And that would be phenomenal.
We'll have to somehow send a message or something and we'll see what we could figure out.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
That was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo!
Boo!
I'm sorry. I had to do that to you.
Okay, I was like, what the hell?
You know, and so we do that. We do stuff like that a lot in our show. Just dumbass stuff, you know, and it. I have to go because I have to give Eric liner notes so that he can upload our show.
Okay, but, our show's hit about the halfway.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know where.
Down to.
Yeah,
but if you guys are, you know, I'm gonna dump this. It'll take me about 20 minutes or less. But if you're still here, I would love to join back in and talk about whatever music stuff you guys are talking about. Because when it comes to Detroit music stuff,
uh-huh.
I actually have a fairly decent knowledge of local small little guys.
Your local small little guys are probably similar to mine because I'm living in Ontario a few hours away from the Detroit border.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Should we stop, Bam Bam? Do you want to stop them?
47:30, we will hit a timestamp at 47:30.
Okay, I'll stop mine too. All right, so
I just want to tell you this. In 1990 or 91, I think it was 91, I went with my father to... Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Oh yeah.
My dad really enjoyed the National Figure Skating Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, I went with him to see that. And in Halifax, I got to see the Sundays live in a little shithole concert. Like it was one of those, I knew a guy, I ran into a guy in the afternoon and he said, hey, come hang out with us. We're going to go see this concert tonight. And it was the Sundays. And the Sundays are this phenomenal Canadian band. You've heard of them, right?
Actually, no, I actually haven't. I don't know how.
Oh my God.
Well, now you're going to have to look them up.
Yeah,
you're
gonna have me all fucked up on that one for sure.
the album at the time, the Sundays, it was something red or something. I can't remember. I can't remember. It was two words. I can't remember the name of the album. Red Sun or Red Earth. Maybe it was Red Earth, something like that. But it was like one of those things. Just like, oh my God, I found this band. And I bought the CD like when I got home, and then like 3 months later, they got big.
Hmm.
It was like, oh my God, I was there. I saw them live. I was drunk as a monkey hanging out with these buddies that I just met that day in the town of Halifax, and Sundays were playing, and here, Red Earth. The album is Red Earth. The nice. Sundays, Red Earth. And here it is. It's like, holy shit. It's just one of those weird things that you're just like, holy cow, I can't believe that actually happened to me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I discovered something. Through my whole life, I've been the doppelganger of Ed from the Bare Naked Ladies.
Ooh.
And recently, yeah, we had been talking about, and I said I didn't look like him anymore because I look different. Well, guess what? I actually seen a video because they're coming to my city in a month or so. And yeah, me and Ed still look like each other. We've both aged about the same. We've got about the same beard gut looking thing going on. So yeah, I don't look like the old pictures of him anymore. I look like the modern up-to-date version of Ed. So.
That's great. We love the Bare Naked Ladies. Those guys are great.
Who doesn't?
That's hilarious.
I've seen them live a bunch of times. They got me a couple of girls' numbers because a lot of people, like I said, I'm his doppelganger, so I would say I was his cousin.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Concerts and stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's funny.
You never know. We might be distant cousins, you know. Who knows, right? My uncle has 50 kids from one end of Canada to the other, so.
How's it going, eh?
Eh?
Sorry. Yeah. No, you guys are hilarious. You guys are fun. I got to go. I got to give Eric some liner notes. But if you're still on, I'm going to come back on. What's the name of your show again?
Well, this show is Connecting Through Music, Movies and Their Soundtracks. But my show tomorrow is the Dina Joe Podcast.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called.
I gotta, well, no, I gotta do this. I gotta somehow figure out how to follow you. Okay, so I'm following.
Can't you just click on my little face?
I just did. I just did. I'm following you, Dina. Dina Joe following.
So, oh, I feel special.
You got a follower.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Oh, wait. Let me click on you. I probably already follow you.
Yeah, oh, I don't want to just. Him. I remember that face because it reminds me of the Quiet Riot album.
Well, that is the face that I used there is from, oh God, I can't remember, from the early 80s, late 70s, Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot.
Oh, really?
And that is the robot. That's the robot's face.
Oh,
I used to use who's the guy who crosses his arms and shoots the laser out of his hands? The
Iron Man?
No, the other Japanese robot guy.
I was thinking Austin
Ultraman.
Powers.
Ultraman. I used to use Ultraman. It was Ultraman.
I was way off.
No, you were close. But I used to use Ultraman, but now I'm using Johnny Sacco and the Flying Robot because it is so beyond. And El Carpe is a former wrestling name that I used to have.
Oh, you were a wrestler?
Yeah, only in the Here Comes the Pain PlayStation 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was my.
Wait a minute, what does that mean?
I created a character called El Carpe.
Oh, okay. You weren't really a wrestler.
No.
I was just saying,
no.
Were you in the WWE? Was that a secret?
No.
Because actually, tomorrow morning when she does her show, she does a little wrestling segment with her son as well.
Yeah.
We talk about modern like wrestling, WWE news and stuff like that, and what's happening and what pay per views are coming up and stuff.
If you really want some insight as to the WWE, that has nothing to do with the WWE, I can help you with that because I have no idea how any of that works except for the fact that I played Here Comes the Pain with my buddy for about 5 years in a row. It was funny. It wasn't anything that made any sense, but it was funny anyway. We should definitely connect. You should definitely hook up with our show at some point.
We will have to talk. Yeah, it's been nice talking to you.
Absolutely,
it would be a blast to have you guys come in and actually give us real facts because we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Wow.
We're just shooting two two buddies shooting the shit talking about music.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you say that, because that's what we say what we're gonna do here. We're gonna shoot the shit while we watch a show.
Yeah, basically.
That's funny. That's so funny.
Well, and the other part that we always try to do is the you know, there's the two people who aren't related to us who actually listen to us. We appreciate you showing up, because pretty much everybody else who's ever listened to us is related to us. Anyways, I thank you very much for letting me join your show.
Of course.
Please come visit us at our dumbass Low Standards and Poor show. And have a good time. That's all we do is just have a good time.
Well, awesome. Right. We're going to see what we can do. You have a good rest of your night.
No, thank you very much. And you too.
We will. Well, he will over there in Canada. I will over here in Colorado.
You're in Colorado and he's in Canada. How did you guys get connected?
I know, right? And we're like, we're very close too. We're like family.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. You meet people like that and you just connect. And
then I got my new bro that I've known for 4 years down in California, homeboy. And that's my people from Podbean. Joe and homeboy. You know,
I honestly hope that you guys join us and become part of our dumbass Podbean family. Because the Low Standards and Poor's family is a bunch of rejects. And we could use some normal people.
I was going to say, wait a minute. You've only known us for about 15 minutes. Are you calling us a bunch of rejects?
No. I haven't known you long enough to call you rejects. That's why I'm starting with the normal people. If you hang out with us long enough and we figure out your rejects, then you're more than welcome to be more than part of it. That's just how it works. Oh, Jesus. Cheese and rice. What are we doing, sister?
Giving it back to you. Ba-bum-bum. If I knew where all those little things were on this tablet, I'd be able to do it. All it shows is that I can disconnect you or mute you.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I want to throw this out to you. Since I've got you here, hold on. This is something we were talking about. God damn it, where'd it go? Hold on. Six and the sevens. There's a particular band that we really enjoy playing on our show. You'll hear this as one of our openers a lot of times. But and when it comes to Detroit music, this is one of those bands that is like, dear God, why did they not get huge? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like the Romantics got big, and there's just a crap ton of other Detroit bands that made it big. Toby Red and all these other bands that made it, that got something. But here's a local band that should have gotten something. But you hear this and you go, oh my God, this is great rhythm and blues. And I'm really curious as to what your feelings are on how you hear this. You hear that okay?
Yeah.
What does it make you, does it give you something? Is it like, do you want to go, yeah, I like that, or I don't like that, or dear God, Bill, turn that shit off?
I like that part.
Yeah. This is...
It's kind of funky. That part's... Is it just music?
Well, there's going to be lyrics in a second. And you're going to go, yeah, I do want to go all night. The song is called Go All Night by a band called Six and the Sevens. And they're from Detroit. You really got to search to try and find them. Thing about this band is it's my brother's band, and they have a the B3, the what's that huge big organ with the Wurlitzer?
I have no idea.
The Doors used to use it. I'm gonna fade that out the way Eric taught me. But it's a it's a huge organ with a Wurlitzer, which is this huge brick, like as tall as a human being, and it's like a 3 foot square, 6 foot tall sound amplifier. And we used to move that around. It's I wish I could remember the name of it. It's like for the life of me, I can't think of it. But if you look up the Doors, and you look up the Doors organ, you're gonna see it's something B3 something or another, and that's what they played, and that's part of this song, and it's just like phenomenal. But I used to carry that thing for my brother up and down the stairs in all these different places that we would go and set them. I was basically a free roadie for my brother. It was awesome.
Fun stuff you do for family.
Yeah, well, but the other part of it is because of that, I got to be into the local
music
Detroit
scene.
Exactly. I got to be in the local Detroit scene because I was the guy that wore that hat that people would go, are you the manager? No, I'm not the manager. I'm just the guy that moves the cords and moves the shit and this, that, and the other. And
welcome, Jack.
Yeah. People would be like, you know, are you that guy? No, I'm not that guy. I'm just some dumbass who's carrying shit around. But it was always fun because I got to meet other bands and
other bands and stuff. That's cool.
They would open for a band that was good. You know, I mean, the first band that my brother was in was Spitting Nickels, and they opened up for Blue Oyster Cult in Detroit this would have been, 2006, 2008 maybe, because one of the guitarists I'm going to get weird here for a second, but the guitarist who played for that band with my brother died on stage that day.
Whoa.
Before Blue Oyster Cult came out in Detroit. And there's a whole, we could talk about this another day. He was my brother's best buddy from high school. I knew this guy as I grew up, and here he died on stage. But the band got to open up for Blue Oyster Cult, and somehow he had a heart attack and died.
Oh my gosh.
At, you know, 35, 40 years old.
Jeez.
I think it was 40 something. I think it was 40 something. But it was just like ridiculous. But regardless, how do you take that and make that sound nice again after that? I'm sorry. I just need
to. No, you just ruined it, El Carpe. I just thanks.
Fucked up your show.
God dang. Yeah. Way to end the show.
You're welcome.
Woohoo!
Woo! We could go all night.
All right. Well, I know, Bam Bam, I know you probably have to go.
Yeah, I got to start getting stuff ready for tomorrow, laying
uniforms
and all that stuff.
Yeah. El Carpe's ready to, I'm going to mute him.
Hey, please do. Please do.
I know. Well, I saw a button earlier. I'm going to mute you. I feel like I know you now.
No, and because you know me, you want to mute me. I understand that. No, please do join us. We will definitely welcome you. You can call in anytime to our show. Both of you are more than welcome.
Yeah, listen. We'll have to see. Maybe we can plan it a Thursday that we'll come over there and do something. We'll have to talk about it.
It sounds like timing-wise, their show ends just about the time when ours starts.
Oh, okay, then that might be perfect, but it's up to you. I mean, it would have to, you're a busy family man, so we'd have to plan it so that
just show up and you're part of us. Just be there. Just do it.
Well, I'm following you, so hopefully
I appreciate it.
Get a little ding.
All right. Well,
all right. Nice talking to you.
Thank you for letting me join in.
Of course.
I really do appreciate it.
It's nice to know about the music, so it's cool.
I look forward to talking to you guys again soon, and we can do some fun shit together.
It'll be great.
We've talked about, Eric and I have talked about doing historical things about, you know, this band. This guy worked in this band, and then he left, and then he became part of this band, and all this.
I have 200 and something shows, and the last 45 minutes of every show is music, and every single song that I played, I did history on that song, and where it was ranked and everything. So every single one of my shows.
We were looking at things like,
Sorry, Bam Bam, if you got to go. I know. I just said so. I'm keeping everybody on the line, so I apologize.
And I'm sorry I'm hogging the show, but we were doing this thing where it is like The Damned, the band The Damned.
Yeah.
They have, you know, that initial group of The Damned, and then there's so many split offs and what have you of different guys that have left the band and formed other bands and this and that and the other. Like, you know, you look at Joy Division, and then you look at New Order, and then Electronic, and then even ties with the Smiths and different things. And it's like how all these bands sort of kind of cross over with each other.
Yeah. You need to watch this documentary that we're watching.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah, pull it up and watch it. It sounds the same thing.
I love stuff like that. Yeah, I love stuff like that. And well, just join us and, you know, make us smarter. you'll just enhance our intelligence. And that would just be great. So thank you so much for letting me join it. Hang up on me.
You're welcome.
Just hang up on me.
All right. Well, we're going to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us, El Carpe, and Jack, if you're still in here. It's been a good show. Thank you, Bam Bam, for all your help. I appreciate you. Much love.
Not a problem.
See you in the morning.
Yep. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye, everybody. See you later.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
No, it was really good. It was awesome. Boo you.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
That
was
great. Uh-huh.
Well,
it was
thank pretty you.
Good. Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very
good.
I love you, too.
I didn't really like it. It was terrible. It was bad.
It was awful.
Hang up on me, damn it.